نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters, what we have observed in the last few days concerning an issue that is touching upon the Islamic community is what has taken place in Florida, with a Muslim who is originally from the state of Illinois, and that is the Muslim woman who was issued a license in the state of Florida in which she was wearing her niqab. She was issued in the state of Illinois a license in which she was wearing a niqab. Here, they gave her a license. She took the test, they gave her a license, and she was covering her face, and the only thing that was shown were her eyes. She went to Florida and she wanted to change the license from Illinois to Florida. In Florida, they refused to honor the Illinois license. They said, in light of what happened after 9/11, in light of what happened that day, we have to take the necessary precautions and security measures in order to take care of the citizens in this country. If you want a license in this state, you're going to have to expose your face, and we will not honor this Illinois license. And if you get caught with the Illinois license in the state of Florida, we're going to deal with you. The sister sued the state of Florida, and that's what she's doing right now. Since that happened a few days ago, she has been getting national exposure. She's been on some of the main news media channels. The news is all over the internet. She was on NPR with her husband. Concerning this particular issue, we want to have a discussion, and we want to say from the onset that we understand both sides of this equation. We understand the position of the Muslim sister, and we understand the position of the state of Florida. As it relates to the sister, we want to praise her for her bravery and her jihad, for not buckling under the pressure of a government or a state that says to her, you can't do. So she says, I'm going to fight for my right, my religious right to worship as I choose. She didn't buckle under the pressure. Men from the Islamic Ummah are challenged with issues in lesser degrees, and they buckle. At the mere whim of controversy, men buckle. We want to praise her, and we want to tell that sister that our dua are with her and the other women who choose to wear that niqab in the proper Islamic attire. Her argument is, I was issued this license in Illinois, and there are women in the state of Florida who also have licenses in which they were issued with the niqab. And we know of women who are making this type of jihad. They go into institutions in which security is paramount. They go into banks with their niqab, they go to the airport with their niqab, they go to work with their niqab, and they at least challenge the system. So we say to that sister and those who are like her, continue your jihad fi sabilillah. We also understand the position of the government. We have to be just. We understand that it is a security issue. Someone coming into the bank and his face is covered, concealed. There are always those people who are going overboard, and they'll utilize what is right and exact in order to manipulate the system. So do we think if it is your religion to carry around a knife or a sword, someone has a religion in which he says, My religion says I can carry around a knife or a sword. We're going to say that the government should allow him to get on a plane, especially after 9/11. We're going to say we understand how the government can infringe upon a person's civil liberties and his religion. We understand the state of Florida. So we understand both sides of the equation, and we're going to see what's going to happen. We say to that sister, our dua are with you, and inshallah ta'ala, this case will set a precedent as it relates to people who want to practice their religion. Where does the line stop? If they choose to say this is a threat, maybe they'll go a step beyond that. And then they'll say something else from anyone's religion is a threat. You can't practice your religion. So we're not addressing the sister right or wrong. We're not addressing the state of Florida right or wrong. What we want to address here today is the position of some of the Muslims who, when they heard about this issue, that there was a woman who insisted on wearing her niqab, and she went as far as to sue the government. They said that this niqab and this whole issue by this sister is backwards. And the niqab is extreme. And the niqab is uncivilized. And the niqab is cultural. It's something that's not from Islam, but the Arabs were doing it before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She's going overboard. We say, as we've told our community on a number of occasions, do not create problems for yourself. The FBI, they come to you, cooperate and answer questions. Especially if you don't feel that you have jeopardized your freedom. Answer questions. Don't say, I want to see a lawyer, because you may exasperate the problem. Allah does not make things difficult in your religion. Someone is traveling, they say to your wife, I want to see your face. Don't stand there and insist that. Tell them, okay, bring out a woman. Let the woman see your face. We don't tell people, create problems for yourself. But at the same time, we are not so weak to say, when a person from our ummah stands up for their principles and their religion, we don't go overboard by making these statements that we see the Muslim intellectuals making and the foolish, ignorant Muslims from our community. The niqab is not from al-Islam. The niqab is uncivilized. These people are living in the 8th century. So if a woman is wearing the niqab, she has reason to think that there's something wrong with her Islam. Whereas the woman who was not wearing the Prophet jilbab or hijab in al-Islam, she is left alone. And if you speak about her from the minbar, you are not utilizing hikmah. This sister who dresses properly, she can be ridiculed, and she could be put out on Front Street in front of everyone as being uncivilized. But the one who is not dressing properly, you can't speak about her issue. If you do, you're dividing the community. If you advise her and her husband to fear Allah, you are making trouble. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, sayakunu fi ummati, sayakunu fi akhiri ummati, نساء كاسيات عاريات كأن رؤوسهن كأسنمة البخت إلعنوهن فإنهن ملعونات. The Messenger of Allah said in this authentic hadith, there will come a group of women from my ummah. They'll come at the end of my ummah. They will be dressed, but they will be undressed. Their heads will be like the humps of camels. Curse them because they are cursed. إِلْعَنُوهُنَّ فَإِنَّهُنَّ مَلْعُونَاتِ Rasulullah said, curse them because they are cursed. So that woman who does not wear the proper hijab, Rasulullah told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what her situation is. This does not apply to any specific woman. Whoever drinks khamr, his reward will be the hellfire. That's the general ruling. Allah knows best who He's going to make it specific. But the hadith is showing us, brothers and sisters, the one who was not dressing properly, that was the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who is dressing properly, she should be ridiculed. To talk about her from the minbar, this is not from the hikmah. No, we're going to say to that sister to continue with your jihad fi sabilillah. As for the foolish, ignorant Muslims who don't understand about the issue of the niqab in al-Islam, Let us make it perfectly clear that if you look at the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the face veil is from al-Islam, but it is not an obligation upon the woman. The Prophet came to the house of his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, and he saw the sister of Aisha Asma. Both of them are the daughters of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Asma, being in the privacy of the home of her sister, she was wearing some clothing that was more lax. Rasulullah saw it, he stopped at the door. As he stopped at the door, when he saw the pictures, he refused to come in on the munkar. He had to make a statement to give guidance to people and instruction to people. Maybe they may reflect and change their behavior. Aisha saw that her husband refused to come in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, Ya Rasulullah, what's the matter? He told her and he told us, Ya Asma, al-mar'a, idha balagat al-mahid, lam yasluh an yura minha illa hadha wa hadha. Asma, if a woman becomes mature and she reaches the age of puberty and she starts to develop into a woman, nothing should be seen of that woman except her hands and her face. So the niqab is not an obligation, but it is something that the companions used to do. The niqab is not an obligation, the face veil is not an obligation, but it is something that is not from the culture. It is not extreme. It is what the Prophet's wives were upon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the women from the companions were upon it. So where do the people get that statement? That sister in Florida did not say to the Muslim community, your women need to wear niqab. She said, I choose to wear the niqab. She has a personal preference. So why would the people become upset with that? As for the proof to show that the niqab is not from the culture, and it was something that was well known by the companions, during the Hajj, the Prophet stood before his community and he told the Muslims, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تنتقب المرأة المحرمة ولا تلبس القفازين. The woman who was making the Hajj or the Umrah, as you're going to make the Hajj or the Umrah, he said that she should not put the niqab over her face, nor should she wear gloves. When the man goes to make the Hajj, he cannot wear pants, he can't wear a shirt, he can't wear a thobe, he can't wear izar, he can't wear rida. The Prophet told him, he cannot wear any shoes that go beyond his ankle. Everything has to be below the ankle. So in addressing the women and their dress, he said if the woman is making Hajj or Umrah, she should not wear the niqab, nor should she wear the gloves. Why did he say that? Who was he talking to? If this was something that the Arabs only did before al-Islam, he was talking to the people who were in his presence. This was the dress of those women. During the time of the Hajj, the woman is going around without the niqab because she can't wear the niqab on the Hajj. But still, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she told us that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the woman should not wear the niqab or the glove. She described the condition of the companion, of the women during that time. She said, kunna idha marra bina rukban, سَدَلَتْ إِحْدَانَ الْحِجَابِ عَلَى وَجْهِهَا. While we were making the Hajj, the women, we did not wear the niqab, but while we were making the Hajj, if a group of men came by us, we would cover our faces with our jilbab. Since they can't wear the niqab during the Hajj, the niqab was absent, they would put the jilbab to cover their faces until the men passed by. There is no doubt, brothers and sisters, that the niqab is from al-Islam. If your wife wants to wear it, fabihi wa ni'mah. If she doesn't want to wear it, nothing should be seen of the mature Muslim woman except her face and her hands. I know that some people would sit there and they would become upset. For me to say, the Muslim woman's neck, it should not be exposed. Her ears should not be exposed. The Muslim woman's hair should not be exposed. Nothing should be seen of her except her face and her hand. So we want to take a look at the hayat, the modesty and the shyness that the niqab and the hijab and the jilbab developed in the hearts of the Muslim women of the past. We want to look at the ghira, the jealousy that the Muslim men had for their women of the past. And now we are an ummah where if a person gets before the community and he says the hijab is important, the niqab is important, then he is the criminal. He's not wise. This is not wise to talk about. It's controversial. It's not controversial. How many of us have women that we're responsible for? We haven't said to them a single word about their condition. But it's not wise. The one who doesn't dress properly, if you speak about her, this is a problem. But to talk about the one who's dressing properly, no, this is not acceptable. This is oppression. We look at Umar radiallahu anhu, as Anas ibn Malik told us, look at the hero that the Muslim had for the women who were not even his own wives. Umar came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, يَدْخُلُ عَلَيْكَ الْبَرُّ وَالْفَاجِرُ فَلَوْ أَمَرْتَ أُمَّهَاتَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِالْحِجَابِ فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى آيَةَ الْحِجَابِ. Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, religious people and irreligious people, they come to you and they visit you. They come to your homes and they are around you. Why don't you order your wives to wear the hijab? In essence, Umar was saying, I have a problem. That the irreligious man or the religious man will get an open door policy to have access to your women. I have jealousy for that, Ya Rasulullah. They're not even my wives. So for me to stand here and to say I have jealousy for the wives of my brothers, for my sisters in Islam, this is not wise. This is controversial. There's something wrong with the ummah today. There's something wrong with the men of this ummah today. We're not even going to address how do you allow your wife to go like that. But it's something wrong when you have a problem with someone saying the hijab is important. Talk about the one with the niqab. That is uncivilized. That's oppression. That's backwards. But leave the one without the hijab and don't say anything about her. That's okay. So we see the ghira of Umar radiallahu anhu for the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he saw his wife Fatima come into the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using the miswak, the stick to make the stack with her tongue, with her teeth. Ali radiallahu anhu was looking at her with a look that she knew was a problem. She asked him, Ya Aba Turab, what is wrong with you? Ali said, radiallahu anhu, لَوْ كَانَ رَجُلًا لَقَتَلْتُهُ قَتْلًا. If that miswak was a man, I would have totally killed him. He had jealousy over the stick being in the mouth of his wife. Is that extreme? Or is that man saying to his wife, I will go to the end of the earth to protect you and your honor. Man kutila dun ahlihi for who was shaheed. In the religion of Islam, the man who was killed, defending his family, his honor, he gets the shahada in Islam. But we say, no, this issue of ghira, don't talk about it. It's controversial. It's not wise. The man does not have anything to move in his heart when it relates to his women. Look at the modesty of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, دخلتُ البيت الذي دفن فيه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبي واضعة ثوبي فلما دفن عمر والله ما دخلته إلا مشدودة علي ثيابي حياء من عمر. Aisha, the prophets of Islam, whenever they die in the earth, Musa, Isa, Harun, whenever the prophets die, wherever they fall, that's where they're going to be buried. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died in the compartment of Aisha, so he was buried in that home. And then after he died, the best of this community, Abu Bakr, he died. So he was also buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the home of his daughter Aisha. And Aisha, being that that was her property, she was waiting for the third position to be preserved for herself. But then the Khalifa of Al-Islam, Al-Faruq, radiallahu anhu, and how much we need Al-Faruq today. Many of us would have a lot of lumps on our head had he been here, radiallahu anhu. When he died, they asked Aisha, will you not allow him to be buried with his two companions? How was Aisha going to refuse? She allowed it. So Umar was buried in the home. Aisha said in this essence, I used to go to the room where Rasulullah was buried and my father, and I would visit them, and I wouldn't have my hijab on. The way the woman is in her home, I would go to visit them. I used to say, it's my husband and my father. It's okay, my husband and my father. But when Umar radiallahu anhu died and he was buried there, wallahi, I never went in that room ever, except that I put my clothes on out of shyness for Umar, who was dead in the grave. Where does she get that training from? That training comes from her husband, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had jealousy and ghira for his women. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ikhwan, he didn't have this heart that was dead amongst the Muslim men. You can't talk about it controversial. He didn't have that. He looked at the man who came to visit him, and the man knocked on his door. And the man put his eye by the keyhole and he was looking inside of the house of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah picked up an iron pin and he started running to the door, and the man saw him coming closer, and the man knew what was about to happen, so he backed up off of the door. Rasulullah opened the door and said, had you kept your eye there, I would have poked it out. This is the one who has been sent as a rahmah to all of the world. Look at his hero. When he went to conquer Mecca, those people persecuted him. They killed his companions. They threw him out of his city, Mecca. They lied on him. When he conquered Mecca, he told the people, everyone is free, except for four men. Every one of you people from Quraysh, you can go free, except for four men. And he named those four men. He told his companions, if you find these four men holding onto the curtain of the Kaaba, kill them. He told all of the people, if you go to the Kaaba, you're safe. You are now Muslim. If you go to the home of Abu Sufyan, you're safe. If you go outside of Mecca, you're safe. If we catch any kafir inside of Mecca, we're going to deal with you. He said, but if these four men, if you catch them holding on to the curtain of the Kaaba, seeking protection from the sanctity of the Kaaba, he said, strike their necks. Who were those four men? They were four of the poets who used to say vile things and disparaging remarks about his wife, his jealousy. The Prophet did not see this as a small issue. So we come before you, ikhwan, only to say to you, those Muslims who take this position, we have it backwards. We have the concept of hikmah backwards. Hikmah to many of us means bending and bowing under the pressure. Hikmah to many of us means don't say the truth. Stand up and entertain and dance for the people. Hikmah to many of us means make things easy. The Prophet came with a religion that's easy. Yes, he came with a deen that's easy, but the man has to maintain his honor. That's all we are saying to the Muslims. Hold on to your honor. There are too many examples from how the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to deal with people as it relates to their hero. Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he was about to be killed, his wife was in the home and she came to save her husband Uthman. And when the people broke into the home, she ran without her hijab. Uthman radiallahu anhu, after being stabbed and he was dying, told his wife, go back, hide your hurma, hide your aura. This is more difficult upon me than me getting stabbed. I don't want my murderers to be pleased with seeing my wife. The companions used to not marry the divorced wives of certain companions because of the jealousy that they knew that those men had. They would not marry their ex-wives. We're not saying that that's permissible, but where is the ghira of the Muslim man? Where is the ghira that he doesn't even say to his wife, his mother, his sister, his daughter, Ya Amatullah, ittaqillah. See Allah. Where did he die? We want to make something else very clear. When we talk about and we mention the Muslim women who don't wear hijab, by the Lord of the Kaaba, Allah alone is the judger of us all. We are not saying that the woman who doesn't wear the hijab is in the hellfire. The woman who doesn't wear the hijab is no good. We didn't come here to pick on her. We say that all of us have sinned. Some of our sins are greater than the issue of not wearing hijab. Allah is the judger. And we pray and we hope that every Muslim woman at one point or one time, she's going to experience the iman that will allow her to put the hijab on. Be patient with them. Take your time with them. That's our dawah to those women. That our dua are for you. That Allah makes you one day capable of wearing the hijab. Hopefully this khutbah will plant a seed. Wear the hijab. No one can judge you, amatullah. Your issue is with Allah. The person who is wearing the proper hijab, there are going to be some of them who will be in the hellfire. They will be in the hellfire. She cannot look at the one who's not wearing hijab. I'm holier than thou. Some of us will miss the point and will say, Abu Usama talked bad about the sister who don't wear the hijab. That's not the point. We're addressing those Muslims, men and women, who are backward and against Islam. The woman who wears the hijab, she's the one who's a criminal. No, she's not a criminal. The niqab is from al-Islam. The niqab is from al-Islam. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى التَّوْفِيقَ وَالسَّدَادَ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Again, we repeat and we emphasize. Those Muslim sisters who did not wear the proper hijab, your issue and your judgment is with Allah. May Allah make it easy for you. But your husband, don't be a helper of shaitan as it relates to your wife disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. We want to see every Muslim woman wear the proper Islamic attire. I want that for you as I want it for my daughters, as I want it for my women. My non-Muslim woman, my non-Muslim mother, I want to see her one day in hijab. One of my greatest and most famous daydreams is making tawaf around the Kaaba with my mother in the hijab, honored by al-Islam wearing the hijab. That sister who doesn't wear the hijab, our dua are for you and not our judgment. We do not pass judgment. Allah is al-Hakim in your issue and ours. But the issue of the hijab, for me to remind you, is a responsibility. The hijab as an issue is the responsibility of three people. It is the responsibility first and foremost towards that sister. وَكُلِّ امْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٌ. Everyone is responsible for his own self. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. All you believe, you are responsible for your own self. It does not harm you, those who go astray. Sister, if your father is not practicing Islam, and he didn't plant into you the seed of the hijab and the love of hijab when you were young, that is not an excuse. You're responsible for the hijab. She's first and foremost. Secondly, the wali of that girl is responsible for her hijab. Whether that wali is her husband, her father, her brother, her uncle, you are responsible for your wife, for your sister, for your daughter. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. The men, they have the power over their women. They're responsible for them. Not the dayus, the du'afa. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. The men, they have the ability to say to their wives, يَا عَمَتَ اللَّهِ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. And because she respects them and she loves them, she's going to obey them. So it is the responsibility of the wali. Thirdly, it is the responsibility of the Islamic authority. Umar radiallahu anhu used to see the slave women wearing the hijab like the free women. The hijab of the slave woman is different from the hijab of the free woman. Umar radiallahu anhu would hit the slave girl and tell her, do not dress like the free women, and you trick the people into making them think that you're free. That's a hukum in al-Islam. That's a hukum that the hakim will put the sister in order. The Islamic authority has the ability and the responsibility to say to the people, wear the hijab. That's what we're doing right here today. The small, weak Islamic authority in our city is saying to the Muslim sister, wear hijab. Whoever sees an evil thing, let him change it. If it's only with his tongue. That's all you have the ability to do, then change it with your tongue. So we call all of you women, first and foremost, put the hijab on for yourselves. Ya Asma,
المرأة إذا بلغت المحيض لم يصلح أن يرى منها إلا هذا وهذا. يا أسماء, if the woman becomes mature and she begins to develop, nothing should be seen of her except her face and her hands. That's the statement of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, الذي لا ينطق عن الهوى إنه إلا وحي يوحى. And we ask Allah عز وجل to make it easy for all of us. He is the judge and He judges with justice. He has put the scales up with justice. We are not the judges. We are not the judges, or nor do we accept to be judged by the people. Allah is the judge, and we ask Allah by His asma that are great and exalted, that He puts in our hearts the desire to wear the proper Islamic attire. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله عز وجل.